Well, as people who live in the northern cold, I think we've all seen the news reports about the devastation taking place in Texas over the last week or so. Their buildings are not built for that kind of cold. And we've seen the pictures of apartment buildings flooded by burst water pipes with icicles hanging from indoor light fixtures. We've seen people lined up with buckets waiting for clean water. We've heard the stories of families trying to stay warm. And in the midst of this clearly difficult time, we've heard stories of people helping one another. One couple living just east of Austin thought they might have to ride out the storm for a day or two, so they stocked up on toilet paper and a few non-perishable food items to get them by. But they hadn't prepared for what actually happened to them. According to the article I read, the electricity in their house went out early in the week, and it never came back on. Their water shut off, too. Now, Adrian, the husband, is a photojournalist, so he had battery-operated camera lights on hand. So he built a fort in their bed to keep their heads warm and turned on his camera lights so they could see. But the temperature kept dropping until finally he said it was 6 below inside the house. Yeah, that's when Adrian and his wife Gina decided this was no longer workable. Their friend Starla opened up her home, which at 55 degrees felt downright tropical. And when Adrian and Gina arrived at Starla's house, Starla's neighbor showed up to give them warm bowls of chili. The couple was overwhelmed. Adrian said he was floored by the kindness that Starla and her neighbors showed them, especially when food and heat are scarce. He said, "It is so amazing to know that even in times of need and knowing the grocery stores are closed, people would still open their homes and offer their food." Now, this isn't a news program. This is a worship service. So why am I telling you about this article I read? Well, because it's a beautiful example of a word I want to focus on in today's gospel reading. The Greek word diakoneo. Mark's gospel says that when Jesus was in the wilderness, the angels served him. The Greek word for serve is diakoneo, and it covers lots of ways to serve, but there's an emphasis on taking care of the needs of others, often with food and drink, hospitality, and physical accommodations. That is exactly how Starla and her neighbor served this couple in Texas in their time of need. How could we not share that story? I had to. Just like the author of Mark's gospel had to include in today's reading that the angels served Jesus while he was in the wilderness for 40 days. If people were reading along and wondering how Jesus survived out there, there's your answer. The angels served him in his time of need. Interestingly, Jesus uses this same word in Mark 10, verse 45, where he says that he came not to be served, but to serve. Diakoneo. It's the word we get the English word deacon from. And that's what Deacon Glendy has done at Our Savior's. She has served. She has served well and in many ways. And I can see her out of the corner of my eye right there. But I don't want to cry, and I don't want her to start thinking that she's better than Jesus. So we'll save that for next week when we celebrate her retirement. But serving is what a deacon does. And like I told the children, serving is what we do too. This past year has been a roller coaster, to say the least. And so many of you have served friends and neighbors, and you've served your church family too. I can't even count all the volunteers Pastor Carey talked about who stepped up and put in extra time to serve at our Savior's so we could continue to worship during the pandemic. A bunch of you decided we needed a living nativity, and you put in the time and energy to make it happen, joyfully, cheerfully, spending hours in the cold to spread hope and Christmas cheer to people in the community. That's amazing. And people of God, you do this all year long. You do. And Lent is a good time for us to keep on serving. Serving is a sign that the kingdom of God has come near, that God's Spirit is on the loose in the world through us, that God is with us in these 40 days. You know, Mark's gospel doesn't tell us much about Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. It says he was tested by Satan, he was with the wild beasts, and the angels served him. Angels, by the way, are messengers of God. And when we serve, we become messengers of God's love. People experience God's loving presence, God's kingdom, when we serve them. But what about those 40 days? Throughout the Bible, 40 means a long time. And things that are noted in the Bible as lasting 40 days or 40 years are usually tough times that lead to something better, like the Israelites heading to the Promised Land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It was difficult. They got tired of eating manna and quail, but God was with them, and they made it to the Promised Land. So, what comes out of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness? Is it possible that this experience, these 40 days, help to clarify for him what his ministry will look like? Remember, this is before he begins his ministry. This is the very beginning. We are in chapter 1 here. Jesus is baptized. He's told he's the Son of God, the Spirit descends on him, he spends 40 days in the wilderness, tested by Satan, being with the wild beasts, which I picture as this peaceable kingdom moment, and with angels serving him. All of this combines to propel him into his servant ministry that we read about in the following verses and chapters, where he calls his disciples, heals and teaches and serves. And in Mark 10, verse 45, just before Palm Sunday, finally says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." In these 40 days, from Ash Wednesday through the day before Easter, which, by the way, that's 40 days, not counting Sundays, because each Sunday is a little bitty Easter. In these 40 days of Lent, we can follow Jesus and serve. We've been going through a difficult time with this pandemic for almost a year now, and maybe it feels like 40 years to you, but God has been with us and continues to be with us, and there is hope for better days ahead as vaccines are rolled out. As we walk through Lent during a pandemic, one of the most meaningful things we can do is serve. You are a beloved child of God. All of us are. God's Spirit is in us, inspiring us to serve, to reach out with a voice of hope by serving. And I know some people give things up for Lent. And if you usually do that and you want to give something up for Lent again this year too, go for it. I know for many of us, it feels like we've already given up a lot to keep ourselves and the people around us safe. So whether you choose to give something up for Lent or not, I encourage you to be intentional about serving in these 40 days. Doesn't have to be big or complicated. Some of the most meaningful acts of service are small and simple. If you're not sure what to do, go to the church website, scroll down to the announcements, click on Random Acts of Kindness Week, and look at the information there and this fantastic list of ideas that Leisha put together. Brothers and sisters, we are children of God, so we serve. Jesus' identity as the Son of God and his experience in the wilderness catapulted him to his life of service, ultimately serving all of creation by his death and resurrection. So as we reflect on Jesus' life and ministry this Lent, looking with hope toward the cross and beyond to the empty tomb of Easter, may God's Spirit unleash the love of God through our service, because everyone needs love and hope. Amen.